Marriage Lines. A series based on the mutual love and mistrust of a young married couple, with Richard Bryce as George Starling and Prunella Scales as his wife, Kate.
Somebody once said that life was a bit like a switchback. You know, all ups and downs. Well, that's true, of course, but I'd say there was nothing like fatherhood for making life even more like the Big Dipper. Well, you vary from hour to hour, almost. One minute you're as pleased as punched about the baby and swollen with pride as though you'd invented the process. Then you're right down in the dumps thinking about the extra mouth to feed and school bills and... Well, I'll tell you about one particular evening. I called in to see Kate and baby Helen in hospital after work. She's grown.
Since last night?
Yes.
Well, she's a good little nosher, I'll say that for her.
Hello, huge Helen.
Don't.
What?
It'd be awful if she was a fat girl.
Oh, she takes after me.
No, but you know how I have to be careful.
Oh, well, then she'll have to be careful.
Poor soul.
Why?
Only 21 hours old and she's got to watch her calories already.
I wonder what she will be like.
Very beautiful.
Oh, of course.
Hope she won't have to wear a brace on her teeth.
Now then.
What?
I've got enough worry without dentist bills.
Well, there's school bills, too, one day.
Kate.
Sorry.
Well, they do say girls are cheaper to educate than boys.
Well, that's fair.
Why?
Bride's father pays for the wedding.
Oh, Lord, yes.
I suppose you wish she was a boy now.
Now, Kate, I told you.
Are you sure you don't mind, George?
How many more times?
Perhaps I'll have a boy next time.
With crippling school bills?
But a free wedding.
Oh, yes. Wedding.
Hmm?
I suppose she will get married one day.
George, I told you, she won't always have a pointed head.
I wasn't thinking about the pointed head. I was just trying to adjust myself to it.
To what?
Well, giving the bride away.
Haven't you even seen her after school yet?
Oh, please, darling.
What?
Don't remind me of all the ghastly times ahead.
I'm not ghastly.
Well, the stiff upper lip ones are. You know how I buckle under at emotional moments?
Better not. You may have to interview her boyfriend one day.
Well, that's not an emotional moment. I'll just send the idiot packing.
Why?
Well, I can't see anyone coming up to my standard.
You didn't come up to Mum's standard, but we still got married.
Yeah, all right. Don't let's start all that over again, will you?
What'll you do?
When?
Tonight.
Oh, yes, I'm all on my own, aren't I? Oh, I'll probably get drunk and ring up a few old girlfriends. No, I'll go to bed early.
Come and see me tomorrow.
I'll tie a knot in my handkerchief. Night-night, huge Helen. Don't you ever bring any long-haired, tan-up boyfriend home, or I'll throw him out with the seat of his leather pants. Well, I got into the hospital as cheerful as anything, but by the time I got home, I was bent nearly double with the weight of my responsibilities. I sat in a chair looking more like a man whose wife had just left him than one whose baby had just arrived. And I thought about all the ghastly times that lay ahead. Well, like seeing Helen off to school for the first time. Ah, nice window seat. There, isn't that lucky, Helen? And we asked the guard to keep an eye on you and put you over the right station. Well, this is your first train journey alone. You've always wanted to do that, haven't you?
I'll get you some sweets, darling.
You're not leaving me alone with her, are you? Because I'll tell you something, if she starts crying, I will.
Don't you dare upset her.
Upset her? I wouldn't say she was exactly laughing helplessly.
Some sweets will cheer her up, would they? Shall Mummy get you some sweets, darling?
No.
No, there you are.
Anything else you want on the journey, darling?
No.
Sure?
Yes.
Nothing to drink?
No.
Read?
No.
She doesn't want anything, dear.
Well, I think she deserves some sweets for being a good girl.
Kate. Hey. Would you like to get in, Helen?
No.
No. Well, there's a minute or two yet. It seems only the other day I went off to school, you know, my first big school. I couldn't wait to get there.
No, well, you went to day school.
What? Yes, I did, yes. Well, because Grandma and Grandpa couldn't afford to send me to the sort of school you're going to. I mean, I wasn't as lucky as you. But did I look downhearted? Did I bemoan my luck? No, I did not. I went off smiling. And that's what you ought to do, Helen. Smile. Because you've got something to smile about. Good heavens, I mean, you're going to a much nicer school than Daddy's, with a much smarter uniform and big playing fields and a school song. Well, good heavens, when I went off, what did I have to look forward to?
Coming home at night.
Well, I don't normally drink on my own, but after that little daydream, I'll be quite honest and tell you I poured myself a very stiff slug of cooking sherry. But I'd as soon have swigged it back than I remember what I'd said in the hospital, you know, about Helen getting a boyfriend. And I could suddenly see myself in about 19 years' time, pacing the floor all over again. Where are they?
She said they'd be here in 10 minutes.
What's he like?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, is he big or small, that sort of thing?
George, I don't know. I haven't seen him either.
No, it worries me the way she's kept him undercover. Then suddenly she says she wants to marry him. I mean, how can I give my consent the first time I meet him? It's ludicrous. Look, she tells you more than she tells me. Didn't she let any sort of description slip?
Not much.
Well, how much?
His name's Dave, and he's a fab dreamboat. Does that help?
Mm. He sounds like a smoothie to me. A flashy dresser who's introduced her to alcohol and is only waiting for my consent before he gets her on the marijuana. Well, they're wasting the time. He's not getting it. He's not getting it, I tell you that. I don't suppose for a moment he's got a regular job. He probably just works in the evenings, one of those ghastly groups. Kate, you can't expect me to approve.
Of course I don't.
I'm going to my biggest guns, I can tell you. Dave. Just imagine what he looks like with a name like that, can't you? Dave. I mean, a decent boy with a decent-sounding name like David wouldn't have practically got her to the altar in less than 3 months.
Got her to the altar?
Well, perhaps not even that. From what I can gather, the moment they clap eyes on each other these days is a signal for trying out all those things that women's magazines advise young couples against. Oh, heaven only knows what happens when they get engaged.
George, Helen would not do anything like that.
Wouldn't she? She had a very funny gleam in her eye at breakfast, and she's been off her cornflakes.
Well, that's because she's in love. I was off my cornflakes once.
Were you?
Yes.
Well, because of me.
Well, eventually.
Well, so... What do you mean, eventually?
Well, you weren't the first time I'd been in love, George.
What?
There they are.
What do you mean I wasn't the first?
Now, pick your words carefully.
Where are you going?
Upstairs. This is the father's privilege.
Well, what am I going to say to him?
Don't say anything, darling. Just open up your biggest gun.
Okay. Okay. Look, don't leave me like this.
Daddy, this is Dave.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Do you smoke?
No, thank you.
Do you mind if I do?
Well.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Daddy.
Where are you going?
To see Mummy.
Helen.
Shall be a minute.
Helen. Well, I gather from Helen that you want to speak to me.
Yes, sir.
All right.
May I have a drink, please?
You drink, do you?
Oh, yes. Mm.
Sherry?
A scotch.
Scotch?
A cigarette I must try and cut down.
What would you like in your whiskey?
Oh, on its own, thanks.
I trust this is your first tonight.
Oh, no. Cheers.
Dave?
Yes?
Have you come here tonight to ask my permission to marry Helen?
Yes.
Then you're wasting your time. I have no hesitation in giving you my unequivocal refusal.
Sir?
You may not marry my daughter, young man. Would you like to hear my reasons?
Yes.
To start with, you're obviously an extremely heavy drinker and smoker.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Perhaps
no.
Not by your standards, but certainly by mine.
Well, I don't do either, hardly at all, Mr. Starling.
Nonsense.
Helen told me to say I did. She said you might think more of me.
And why should she think that?
Well, because the first time she saw me, she thought I was pretty wet.
The picture is far from wet, sir. Now, for heaven's sake, accept my decision like a man.
Yeah, well, I bought these clothes specially, sir, and I've never worn a hat in my life. Or hair cream. It's usually mussed up like this. And usually I wear glasses, you see. Helen's been working on me for 2 whole months now. She didn't want you to see me till I was, well, not so wet. You know, so that you didn't turn me down at sight. Like you had done.
You don't smoke?
They make me cough.
Drink?
Gives me a headache.
Well, what's your job?
French polisher. Helen told me to say I was manager of a pop group.
I thought I knew my daughter. But I evidently don't know her any better than you. It's a bit difficult for me to...
Well, look, may I come back again, sir, and show you me as I normally am?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Starling. Can I tell Helen?
Tell her what? Look, I haven't agreed. I mean, I don't even know what you earn.
£19 a week. French polisher. Yes.
Well, Dave.
It's not Dave, Mr. Starling. It's Davis. Helen thought that was a bit square, too. Davis Brock Prendergast.
I promise you, by the time I went to bed, I made the cooking sherry look pretty silly. And that night, I dreamed of giving the bride away. I'm not joking. When I woke up in the morning, the thought of all these problems lying ahead quite put me off the egg you go to work on. Well, I told you, didn't I? I mean, fatherhood's like the Big Dipper. And on the train, I met a bloke from my last job.
George!
Oh, hello, Michael.
I haven't seen you since you got the push from Hall Roper.
No.
You know, it's bad luck on you, but ever since you insulted old Dixon, he's been much nicer.
Really? Oh, good.
Yeah, well, look. He's over there. You've never seen him get as near to a smile as that, have you? Yeah. I say, didn't I hear you joined the club?
What?
The Father's Club.
Oh, yes.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry I can't offer you a cigar.
Don't bother, old man. I've given up smoking, amongst other things. I mean, do you manage to keep solvent? I've got the biggest overdraft ever. Every day there seems to be something else we urgently need for the baby. I've got a hole in both shoes. I can't afford to send a match to the cleaners, and the child isn't even home yet.
Well, you obviously haven't stumbled across the compensations yet.
Compensations? What compensations?
Well, it's income tax. The government rewards the industry an incentive it took you to become a father with a cut in your taxes.
Oh, yeah, I've forgotten about that.
And improved relations with your bank manager you've been in lately?
Are you joking? I passed by on the other side of the road wearing giant glasses.
Oh, well, you'll see. They're nearly all members of the club themselves, so they know things can be tight. Up to now, you see, they've probably secretly envied you. No responsibilities, squandering all your money on unnecessary luxuries.
Well, and now I'm one of them. Well, that's the first good news I've had for 9 months.
It's Charlie, isn't it?
Oh, yes, hello, Mr. Dixon.
Good morning, sir.
Well, it's not 6 months since you left us, but you know I wasn't quite sure if it was you.
He's just become a father, sir.
Oh, really? Well, that accounts for it, eh? Put your ears on him. No, I'm not joking. Starling, you know, you've matured quite a bit since that unfortunate incident in Birmingham. It's a pity you went farther then. I think it would have counted in your favor.
Really, sir?
Yes, indeed. Well, it's common sense, isn't it? Those with the financial responsibility of fatherhood might have one lapse in grace, but never two. In fact, I shall mention this to Mr. Renfrew Smith, just in case your return to Hall Roper's was ever considered by either side, eh?
Well, thank you, sir.
In the meantime, I might be able to give you a few money-saving hints, you know.
Really, sir?
Well, you'll want a house one day if you're starting a family. Oh, by the way, I didn't congratulate you, did I? Welcome to the club.
Well, thank you, sir. It's nice to be here.
Yes. With education policies and extra insurances, building societies, you invest now, you benefit later.
Oh, sorry to bother you, Mrs. Starling.
That's all right, miss.
I looked in to offer your husband a cup of tea. Isn't he coming tonight?
Oh, yes. I'm afraid he's late again.
Oh, dear.
Well, he's so worried about everything, he doesn't seem to notice the time. And I suppose he's in a king-sized flap about us coming home tomorrow, poor darling.
These men. And we're supposed to be the scatty ones.
Oh, I think I'd rather have him as he is. A bit helpless, you know. I couldn't cope with the sort of man who was...
Oh, hello, darling. Sorry I'm a bit tardy, but I've been taking some thought for the future. Helen's future, that is. I had a chat with some informed people on these matters. Oh, evening, nurse. Everything all right? Splendid. That's the idea. There's education policies and insurances and such like. It all sounds a little premature, but the earlier you get these things done and underway, the more the policies mature. Now, where's the object of my financial machinations?
I'll get her, Mrs. Starling.
Splendid. That's the idea. Anyway, I'm going to give Mr. Humphrey a ring at the bank in the morning and fix an appointment.
You've been avoiding Mr. Humphrey for the last 3 months.
What?
You only walk past the bank after 3 o'clock.
Yes, all right, well...
Or before 10.
Kate.
Any other time, you duck down the underground subway.
Things weren't quite the same then, were they?
No, you're even more overdrawn now.
Darling, it isn't your territory, so I'll excuse your ignorance, but the biggest businessmen today live on overdrafts. All their capital is invested.
Yes, but your capital isn't invested, George. It's spent.
I shall be meeting Mr. Humphrey on more common ground than hitherto, as an investor and as a father. By the way, where is the child? Taking her time, isn't it? Because, you know, I promised to have a quick snack with Mum and Dad this evening. I think Dad's rather looking forward to having a father-to-father talk with me. Of course, it's the first time ever that Mum's realised I'm out of short trousers.
Here she is, Mr. Starling.
Ah, splendid. Thank you. Hello, Helen. Well, now, eh? Wait till you've heard what Daddy's been doing for you today. Insurance policy? Education policy? Your own unit trust book? What a lucky girl.
Thank you.
evening, Dad.
Jolly good of you to come and see us.
Well, it is a busy night, Dad, of course. But I thought you and I have got a family of my own. It's not going to be as easy to pop in here as it used to be.
What? No. Well, there's your mother.
Oh, hello, Mum.
Hello, darling. I went to see them again this afternoon. She's beautiful, George.
Helen Fair, she's not a bad looker, is she?
Nearly as beautiful as you at her age.
Oh, Mum, now, don't...
George, beautiful? Good Lord, I never saw such a wrinkled little shrimp. Oh, good Lord, if he was a fish, I'd throw him back.
All right, Dad.
No, he didn't think that at all. He looked into your cot and a tear rolled down each cheek and dropped off the ends of his moustache.
Yes, well, that's a long time ago now, isn't it?
Well, it seems like yesterday. I remember
when... Could I have a drink, Dad? I'm a bit dry.
No, yeah, just about to up. What do you have? Sherry, scotch, gin?
Oh, there's some of that apple juice you used to like, I'm sure.
Mum.
Never change your mother. Scotch?
Oh, thanks, Dad. Care for a cigar?
Oh, thanks,
son. Well, I never thought I should see the day when my baby lit a cigar to celebrate his baby.
Mum.
How much soda?
Just a splash.
Well, darling, think of your liver.
Mum, I've got other things to think about now. That's why I'm a bit late, actually. I had a long chat this evening with a financial expert friend of mine about an education policy for Helen. That, of course, is in addition to her insurance policy.
You've definitely decided on the name, have you, dear?
What? Yes, we think so. Helen can't be shortened.
Hell.
So, tomorrow morning, I'm going to see my bank manager with a view...
We took ages to decide on your name, didn't we, Dennis?
With a view...
No, you took ages. I suggested it straight away. George, I said, has been the name of a number of our ruling sovereigns. But you were against it because it was also the name of a butcher who used to shortchange you.
Don't you believe him? It wasn't like that at all.
No, well, anyway.
Tell him what you wanted to call him.
What?
Go on.
Well, I still think Marcus is a very nice name.
Marcus! Sounds like someone who built the Holy Roman Empire. And there you were, an undersized little shrimp.
Yes, well...
He wasn't undersized. He was delicately formed.
He was the smallest in the ward.
Well, yes, he had the most hair.
Look, are we eating? I've got a tremendous lot to do at home.
Yeah. Oh, darling, I'm sorry. Are you hungry? And to think you used to have such a tiny little appetite.
Yes, I used to have to pull faces to make you finish your greens.
Oh, we had to eat a spoonful ourselves and pretend we were enjoying it.
Yes. I used to draw the line at prunes, though.
Oh, prunes. He absolutely hated prunes.
Not as much as he hated castor oil.
Who left him that be?
Ah, yes, you're a little devil when it came to castor oil time. You used to scream and kick up your little legs.
Yes, well, I'm not very interested, quite frankly, Dad. Sorry.
What do you mean?
I don't know whether you've noticed, but I am out of short trousers now.
Oh, that reminds me. Your mother came across a pair of your old shorts the other day, right at the back of a drawer.
Dad, please.
They saw him come up the front part, and they had to say congratulations. George, you remember Mr. and Mrs. Fielding next door?
Yes.
We saw you come up the front part.
And we had to say congratulations.
Yes.
So, congratulations.
I echo that.
Oh, thank you.
Well, he's changed, hasn't he? From that little nipper who used to lean over our fence and say,
"Can I have my ball, Dad?" Oh, and remember how he used to knock at our door and run away?
You didn't know that we knew, did you, George?
And do you know what I always remember? George, on his first tricycle.
Oh, I've got a picture of that somewhere. Now, where was it?
Mum.
You were so proud of it. You pedalled around the block with your head in the air.
And you hit a lamppost and fell off.
Just outside our house, and your mother was in the garden and didn't hear you crying. So I went out and I cleaned your little knee. I wiped your eyes.
Here's the album. Now, we've got all his very young pictures in here.
Hello, you dropped one.
Here's the one on his tricycle. He looks so sweet.
Aha! Who's this little water baby, then?
Where? Oh, yes. Yes, he used to love to take off all his clothes and I'd turn the hose on him.
But George, with nothing on. Oh, do let me see.
Let me have that picture.
Oh, he's embarrassed.
Darling, you were only two.
All right. But 23 years have passed since then, and quite frankly, I don't find the same attraction in overexposure.
Oh, he's joking.
No, I am not. Nor was I joking when I tried to tell you about the plans I was making for Helen's future. For all the attention you paid to them, I might have been reading from the telephone directory.
Now then, George.
But it's about time you both realize that I am not in short trousers anymore.
Oh, I meant to tell Mr. and Mrs. Fielding. I came across a pair of his shorts the other day. They were right at the back of the
Mum, will you please be quiet?
George!
I've nearly finished. I just wanted to say that in 20 years' time, I sincerely hope that I will not be so utterly lacking in consideration that I produce either a nude picture of Helen or a pair of her first groomers in front of visitors.
George, you will apologize to your mother.
No, no, he didn't mean it.
Either he apologizes or I...
Your telephone. This for George.
Thank you. Hello?
Mr. Stallings?
Yes?
Just a minute, please.
Right.
Darling, it's Kate.
Hello, darling.
Look, we've had an emergency here. The woman who was due to have my bed tomorrow has just been brought in, and they wondered if we could possibly go home tonight.
Tonight?
Yes, isn't it wonderful? Look, will you come here in a taxi straight away? Or perhaps your father will lend you his car?
I think I'd better get a taxi.
All right, darling, we'll be ready.
Right, I'll get everything organized, darling. Don't you worry about a thing. They're coming home tonight. I've got to go and collect them.
Now?
Now.
Oh, what a shame. You're going to miss the bread and butter pudding. I done it specially because I remembered that... Well, Dad can give you a lift, can't he?
Can I?
No. I'll get a cab. We'll need the space, you see. All her cases and plants and things. Well, I'll see myself out. Goodbye.
Well, you didn't have any money for the taxi, George, so I hope you've remembered your key.
Yes, of course I have, darling. There we are, Helen. Home again. Easy.
George!
Yes, I know, it's a bit untidy, but I wasn't expecting you tonight. I mean, what about?
All your talk about organising everything, what's the cop doing in the middle of the sitting room?
What? Oh, well, I kept stubbing my foot on it, you know, when I got up, so...
Well, take it through to the bedroom, will you, please?
Yes, of course, darling.
George.
Well, the sliding side always was a bit loose, wasn't it? I shan't be a moment, Helen, then you'll be all tucked up in your own little bed.
Where are the blankets?
What?
The cot blankets.
Oh, yes. Well, when I tripped over it last time, I was having a cup of tea. Here they are. The stain hasn't quite come out, but they're nice and dry. Sorry, Helen. Daddy tripped, you see. He fell right over there.
George, would you put the kettle on, please?
Oh, yes, blimey, I could do with a cup of tea.
For sterilizing.
What? Oh. Sterilizing what?
Her bottles.
Oh, sorry, I blew the electric kettle fuse. Sorry, darling.
Well, put the old one on, then.
I burnt the bottom out of that. will a saucepan do?
If there are any left.
Of course there are, darling. I haven't burnt one.
It's not always like this, Helen. There we are. Now, you lie there, and I'll go and get your supper.
Ah! Hello, darling. Got the saucepan on.
That's the one we keep for kippers.
Is it? Oh, yes, you're so right, yes. Sorry, darling, I'll use this one.
Do hurry, George. If she wakes up, she'll be hungry.
It's all right. I didn't tell you what Mr. Dixon said, did I? I met him on the train tonight.
Where's the measuring jug?
What?
The glass measuring jug. It's got to be sterilized.
It's in the fridge.
What?
There was some soup left over from last night. I'll pour it away. I'll get rid of it. Sorry, darling. Anyway, look, Mr. Dixon said, why didn't I put a feeler out to the old firm and see if they could...
How much is half three quarters?
What?
Well, I've got to mix the dried milk with water. How much is half three quarters?
Three quarters of what?
What does it matter?
What? Well, of course it... Oh, no, it doesn't, does it? No, it doesn't. Half three quarters.
Come on, George. If you're trying for a better job, surely you know what half three quarters is.
Darling, I don't have much to do with dried milk. I mean, the mathematical side isn't really my forte.
There, I told you.
I'll give you a call when the water boils.
Oh, no.
I'll go.
So you can't talk.
Right. Hello. Oh, hello, Mr. Dixon. No, sir, I haven't forgotten, no. In fact, I've just been discussing it with my wife. Well, that's very kind. I'd love to have a chat. Yes. Well, as a matter of fact, I was going to see my bank manager tomorrow. Yes. Oh, yes, exactly, sir. Well, look, when do you suggest? Because, actually, I've got to... No, sir, I leave it to you entirely.
Someone at the door, George.
There's someone at the door, so I wonder if I could possibly ring you back. Are you? Oh, dear. Well, in the morning, then, sir? Oh, dear. Would you mind waiting a moment, sir?
I'll go.
Sorry, darling. No. Tomorrow will be fine, sir.
Hello, Kate. Now, throw me out if I'm intruding, but I was sitting there thinking what the first night home with George was like. And from the sound of it, yours is running pretty true to form.
Oh, thank heaven, I was getting frantic. George has been no help at all.
Well, father's never asked, so he's running true to form as well, eh?
Come on, let's have a look at her.
I'm afraid the place is absolute chaos.
Well, he wasn't expecting you, was he? Give the boy his due.
12 o'clock, sir, that'll be lovely.
We'll get her changed first. She's probably just wet.
Oh, do you think so?
Well, it's always a good area to bear in mind.
Thank you, Mrs. Yeah, goodbye, sir. Goodbye. Oh, hello, Dad. Hello, Mrs. Dixon. He's helping me with all those things I told you about, you know, insurance and... I'm sorry about tonight, Dad.
What? Oh, don't be an idiot. You've had a worrying time.
Oh, I didn't mean it.
Well, I didn't think it did. Good Lord, I stuck up for you just now. Did you hear me?
No.
Oh, yes. Kate was criticizing you, and I put her in her place, I can tell you.
You didn't go too far.
Hmm? No, of course not. I have years handling your mother. No, I just let her know that if she wants to run you down, she'd better in front of you, not me.
Well, thanks, Dad.
Oh, well, you'll probably do the same for Helen one day.
Will I?
Well, no, maybe not. Kate will probably do it. It's fathers who stick up for the boys. At least proud fathers like
them. Oh, well, I've still got that photograph of me and the all together.
Ah, give it to the baby to chew. What's that?
Oh, blimey, it's the water boiling over.
Well, all right, all right, I'll do it. You look as though a sit-down wouldn't come amiss. What's the water in the saucepan for?
Kettle's out of action. Dad?
Yeah?
Is Mum all right? I mean, about what I said tonight?
Yes, of course she is.
You sure?
Well, she's back the next 10 minutes after you left, telling the Fieldings all about the things you were planning for the baby, so I'd say your stock was all right. Well, let's face it, our stock's always good, us men. We always end up doing the right thing. You wait till I show them this pot of tea I made.
Oh, no, Dad, not the boiling water.
Hey?
That was for the baby's bottle. Honestly, Dad, you are a prize.
Your prize what?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, Dad. I mean, you wouldn't know. I mean, you did splendidly, Dad. I thought you could do a cup of tea.
I'm working my fingers to the bone.
Not at all, really.
In that episode of Marriage Lines were Richard Bryars and Fenella Scales as George and Kate Stark. Their daughter Helen was played by Carol Marsh, her boyfriend Dave by Philip Gard, Mr. Dixon by Wilfred Babbage, Michael by Philip Gard, George's Mum and Dad by Diana King and Jeffrey Sumner, and Mr. and Mrs. Fielding by Wilfred Babbage and Pearl Hackney. Marriage Lines was written by Richard Waring and produced by Charles Maxwell.